Get your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Luke 16, and would you stand with me, please? If you're happy you're here this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
Luke 16. Very familiar passage. Luke 16. Beginning in verse 19. If you have an old King James Bible, you can keep it open. If not, keep it shut. We're going to read from the Bible this morning. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember. Remember those two words, underscore them, get your pen out and remember them. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, they may testify unto them that they would not come to this awful place, this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. Notice the word repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Go back, if you will, please, to verse number 25 and remember the two words, son, remember. Son, remember. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray you bless the morning message. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Lord, I pray if there'd be one lost this morning, they'd have that wonderful response of just trusting you as personal Savior. Lord, if there be those of us here that know someone that's not saved, we'd get a burden for their souls. Bless, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There are many in this lifetime that do not believe in the subject of hell. They scoff at it, they mimic it, they mock it, but it doesn't change the idea. It doesn't change what God said about hell. Remember Noah and the flood? They scoffed at that, but they drowned. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? They laughed about that and they burned. No matter what we think, we cannot change the Bible. No matter what man tries to do, he cannot change what's in the Bible. There are many that believe what we just read was just a parable. As a matter of fact, they call it the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. That's what they call it. But I say to you this morning that it is not a parable. The Bible clearly states it was two men who lived on earth. The Bible said, and their spirits are living today in their two different eternal places. There are many Bible accounts of parables. One of the greatest account of parables is Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, in verse number 3, Jesus spake unto them, many of them, in parables. Again, he said that he spake unto them in parables. And another parable put he forth unto them. And another parable said unto them. He spake unto them in parables. Another parable that he spake unto them, saying, the disciples ask and declared unto them in parables. So when you compare all of those parables to the introduction of what we just read, you'll see, my friend, that there's something very different about Matthew 13 and Luke 16. The Bible said there was a certain rich man. Some called his name Dives. Then the Bible said there was a certain beggar. They call it the parable of the rich man, but parables never spoke of people and places. Check all the parables you want in the Bible. There are never people mentioned or places mentioned. Another thing you want to know about parables is that Bible parables never give proper names. But in this story, there are two names, Lazarus and Abraham. Father Abraham, we know, is the father of the faithful. Abraham's bosom was a place of rest. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there was no beggar named Lazarus, and if there was no certain rich man, and if none of this ever happened, then Abraham never said, "Son, remember." Son, remember. We do know that Abraham spoke and lived and talked from the paradise side of hell to the rich man who was tormented, the Bible said, in the flames of hell. The rich man was not in some soul sleep. The rich man was not unconscious, as some would give you to believe. But he had memory. Did you see that in the story? He had remorse and torment and loneliness. He had tears and thirst and burning. He was very wide awake, completely conscious of his past, his loved ones, and torments. You see, man has an eternal spirit. And for a billion years from now, the rich man in hell will still be begging for one drop of water to cool his tongue from the torments of the eternal flame of hell. Let me give you something very interesting about hell itself. The rich man in hell knew what he was in hell. He declared he was lost. The rich man knew exactly where he was. He declared he was in hell. He knew when he woke up why he was in hell. He never spoke about anybody else repenting, but always others. Did you ever notice that he never said, "Why am I here? This must be a mistake. I shouldn't be here. I've been here, put here wrongly. Why am I in hell?" He never questioned when he was in hell, why he was in hell. He never did. Hell was no parable to him because there was time and torments, people and places. Hell is real then, and hell is real today. He had man's religion of success, rich in life, but lost in sin and death. And today, there's no pharmacy for his pain. He still suffers in the torments of hell. He was a religious man, I believe, because he mentioned Abraham, his father, several times in the chapter. Father Abraham, better for you to remember now than later. For you see, my friend, if you're not saved on this side of your last breath, if you're not saved on this side of the grave, if you're not saved on this side of eternity, if you're not saved on this side of the great white throne, are you listening to me? Amen. You'll be forever and ever and ever and ever in hell.
Right.
Number one, are you with me this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to understand, son, remember that you had the good things to keep you out of hell. America's a place of good things, wonderful things. Some believe hell is just hell of the heart because of turmoil and heartache. Some believe that hell is just hell of the mind because of doubts and fears. Some believe that hell is hell of the body because of sickness and pain. Some believe that hell is hell on earth because of war and destruction and death. But I want to give you this letter, the only letter ever let out of hell, about a man who spoke and wrote this letter from hell that got allowed out of hell and that's still there even right now. This is a true story. And he said the good things. Now, you may not remember God because of your youth. You may not remember God because of your generation or while you're having fun and good health, but you will in hell because He did. You may not remember God because you're too busy of jobs and careers. You can burn every Bible. You can burn every church, burn every Christian, everything that has anything to pertain to the Word of God, but it won't change a thing. It won't change a thing. Are you listening to me? You can eat, drink, and be merry. You can party every day, never recognize God, but it won't accomplish a thing. Either you acknowledge God here or the hereafter. Why? How do you know, Brother Taylor? Because every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of the Father. You see, my friend, this rich man had everything. And you can have everything and make the same choice he did. Hell is a choice. Hell was never prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But there's room for any Christ rejecter that wants to go to hell. God has no choice but a man die and go to an eternity, whether it's heaven or hell. It's your choice, not his. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-double-L, all should come to repentance. Number two, you still with me? Say amen. Amen. Some remember, number one, you had the good things of life that kept you out of heaven. Number two, some remember that you had a lifetime to make that choice. You spent your life as a religious man, but you never made the choice of heaven. Maybe you were too hard to reach. Maybe you're content with yourself. Maybe you waited through another service. You put off salvation. Maybe you've sinned away the Holy Spirit. Maybe you wanted one more opportunity. Maybe you're religious but lost. Maybe you lied to the Holy Spirit pretending to be something that you're not, playing church. Maybe you're full of sinful guilt but not saving grace. Maybe you didn't follow your better judgment, too embarrassed to do anything about it now. What would people think? What would folks think of me? Maybe you don't follow your better judgment. Maybe you didn't believe the Bible, but my Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Maybe you gave excuses. Maybe you tried to keep God out of everything you've ever done. Maybe He doesn't matter to you. The third thing I want you to understand is, son, remember, you'll remain that way forever. This story proves it. He's still in hell. Yes, sir. He begged to have somebody go tell his brothers. Yes. Abraham said, son, remember, you had the good things of life. He also said, but if one would repent, you see, the truth is he wanted somebody else to repent, but he never did. I believe a man has to repent in order to be saved. I believe a man is saved from something to something. From hell unto heaven. From sin unto salvation. Are you listening to him? If you never knew you were lost, you've never been saved. If you never knew you were a sinner, you've never been saved. Hear me very carefully, my friend. You'll remain that way forever. Going to hell doesn't get rid of who you are. The truth is, you can't change your personality in hell. You'll be you in hell.
Right.
You'll be somebody in hell. You can't change that. You say, how do you know that? The Bible says, because in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see, in hell he had ears and eyes and memory. He had feet and vocal cords. He had brain and tongue. People in hell today are who they were while they were on earth. Hell is full of no names. Heaven is full of new names. Amen.
Amen.
When you get saved, there's a new name written down in glory.
Amen.
I believe the Lamb's Book of Life has a blank that only you could fill in that blank. I can't fill it for you. You can't fill it for me. But the very day you get saved, there's a new name written down in glory.
Amen.
In that blank of the book of life.
Amen.
One of these days, God's going to search that book. Hear me.
Amen.
For your name.
Yes.
For my name. And if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. These are not myths. It's not some fairy tale. Not some made up thoughts. You understand, my friend, you can't change your character in hell. Listen to me. You'll be the same wicked you in hell. If you die lost and a liar, you'll be a liar there. If you die lost and a thief and a thug, that's what you'll be in hell. If you die lost as a whoremonger, a God-hater, drunkard, or somebody that is a blasphemer, that's what you'll be in hell. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a neighbor that's a murderer. Or any of the wicked, ungodly thing you can imagine. Hell is full of them. The Hitlers, the Stalins,
yep.
Those that did not believe God, every mass murderer. And you hear me, there's no power in hell that can change it. God said, if you go there, that's eternity for you. Now you explain to me eternity. How long does it last? You write the one and the zeros behind it, how long it lasts. It lasts forever and forever. And you'll remember praying. Yes, you will. You'll remember somebody pleading for you to be saved. You'll remember somebody maybe preaching or God offering His mercy. And you'll remember what a fool I was for not saying yes to Jesus and being a saved, born again child of God. And you'll be that way. There'll be plenty of time to remember. Plenty of time. You can't change your conscience. There'll be guilt of sin in hell. It'll sear your conscience. Hell is hotter than iron. It will activate your conscience. Are you listening to me? It'll be your torture, and you will not be able to turn it off. Guilty moments and fears and guilty before God forever. And you can't change your past. Whatever your past is, that's what you'll be in hell. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad His blood covered my past.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, you can't change your present. You won't be able to change your present. Since you wanted to serve and go to hell, you'll serve the devil and Satan the rest of your life. May I remind us all that God wills death to no man.
That's right.
He said He's not willing that any should perish. He said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely.
Yes, sir.
But God has no alternative. You realize that hell is God's burial ground. Listen to me. That's where the haters of God are. Hell is where the haters of Christians are. Hell is where the haters of church are. Haters of Bible.
Yeah.
It's where the demons scream forever. Listen to me. Do you realize there's no daytime in hell? Darkness.
Right.
Do you realize there's no escape from hell? Do you realize, my friend, that there's no God to take the demons off? But there's falling and burning and weeping and wailing forever and forever. Somebody needs to listen to the preacher when he preaches on hell.
Amen.
Somebody needs to listen to the soul winner when the soul winner reads the scriptures about hell.
Yes, sir.
This is no game we're playing.
Amen.
I wish I could turn over every stone to make sure everybody in this room is saved. We're not playing church when we come together. When we open that Bible, we don't just pick and choose what we want to say and preach. We must come to the conclusion that the gospel is the need of every person. You listen to me. God has a purpose for you. Your soul will live forever. Your body and spirit will be comforted, the Bible said, or tormented forever. Everyone needs a Savior because everyone sinned. You must be saved because hell is certain. Being saved is the only way to settle your eternity. And salvation is the only way of deliverance.
God.
Listen to the warning of Luke 16.
Yes, sir.
It is no parable.
Yes, sir.
It is no story.
Come on.
It is real.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It is a letter sent from hell for you to hear today. It's not made up or thought up. It's not made for movies.
Yeah.
It's a story of a real man. And if he could stand here today, he'd scream to you, hell is real.
Yes.
Hell is real. Man has a choice to make. That choice is heaven or hell. I was preaching, or I heard a man preach years ago. He's a well-known preacher, very famous preacher. And he started his first church in a little country church. And there was a man that attended his services all the time. The pastor got real, as a young preacher, he got real concerned about everybody in the pew. So he began to have services where he would witness to them in the auditorium at the invitation. He'd leave the platform in the pulpit and he'd go to you. He'd ask you how you knew you were saved. There was a man that always sat near the back of the auditorium. This man never gave a testimony of salvation. Never testified when and how he got saved. And the pastor finally got to him and he was so burdened for him. And he asked him, he said, sir, if you died today, do you know if you go to heaven or would you doubt it? Have you got that settled? The man looked at him as if he was kind of mad that he would ask that question to him. Maybe boiling Sunday after Sunday that he would come to him. This man was as faithful as anybody you could ever imagine, but never talked about salvation, never. By the way, if somebody asks if you're saved, be glad to tell them, amen.
Yes.
But the man sat there while the preacher asked him, and he had no emotions, had no response, except for this. He shook his hand in the face of that preacher, and he goes, Sonny boy, he called him, that young preacher, Sonny boy. He said, Sonny boy, one of these days you're going to see this saved man die. First time he'd ever admitted that he was saved. Several weeks later, he became sick unto death. Back in the days when doctors would come to your bedside at your home, the doctor said, if you want to call your family or whoever, you better do it now because he's nearing the end of his life. His wife went to his bedside and they began to talk a little bit. They grabbed hands and held hands. He looked at his wife and said, sweetheart, we've had a good life together, wonderful children, great family, great marriage. She said, lie still now. The doctor said, just be quiet and rest. He goes, that preacher. Yes, our pastor. Yes, that preacher. He said, put a chair in the corner of the bedroom and call that preacher man to sit in that chair. So she did. She called for the preacher. He came to the room. He said, is that you, preacher? He goes, yes, it's me. He goes, I had a chair put in the room. He said, go sit in that chair. He said, why? He said, because today you're going to see a saved man die. True story. After a while, the man lifted off of his bed with all the strength and effort he could have in his body, lifted his hands toward the ceiling of the bedroom, and he began to shout, I see! Yes! I see glory! Glory! Glory, glory, glory. I see glory. Fell down to the pillow and just expired and died. After a while, when the doctor left and he was pronounced dead, and the wife walked over to the preacher. Said, hey, preacher, she said, what do you think my husband saw? Was he delirious? Was it the drugs? Was he out of his mind? Was it the fever? What was wrong with my husband? What do you think he saw? And the preacher, young preacher, stepped upon his chair, took his handkerchief out, began to wave it above his head. He said, I'll tell you what the old man saw. He saw glory! Glory! glory, glory, glory. That's what the old man saw.
Amen.
Now you hear me? Not everybody has to walk down a Baptist aisle to get saved. Amen and amen. Not everybody shouts about being saved. I've watched people cry. I've watched people shout. I've watched people shake when they got saved. I've watched all kinds of emotion, but we're not saved because of emotion.
That's right.
We're saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Saved because of the Lamb, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My question to you this morning, from the front row to the back, on both sides, front to back, side to side. When did you get saved? There's just something wonderful about salvation. You never forget the day you got saved. Oh, I'm not talking about the watch or the calendar year, the time. But if you got saved, really born again, you could take me there.
Yes, sir.
You could walk me there. We could ride there. You could fly there. You could take me right to the spot.
Yes, sir.
Where you received Christ as your personal Savior. Because you just never forget where you got saved. So when did you get saved? Are you saved and do you know it? If you died this very breath, would you go to heaven? Or would you doubt it? Have you got that settled in your heart? Shall we stand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for being a listening audience. No one looking around, heads are bowed. Are you listening? Shake your head, yes. How many this morning would say, Brother Taylor, I'm saved and I know it. I wouldn't lie about it. I wouldn't hope it. I wouldn't fret it or think it. I know that I know that I know I've been born again. I could take you right to the spot where I got saved. Saved and I know it. Lift that hand way above your head. Happy about it? Wave it to Jesus. He likes a good hand waving every once in a while. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many here this morning would say, Brother Taylor, I couldn't raise my hand? Or if I did raise my hand, I did it hesitantly. I don't know for sure. If I died this morning, that I'd go to heaven. You'd say, pray for me. I don't want to miss heaven. I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me that I could be born again soon and very soon? I need to be saved. Hold your hand up right now, up and down, right now. Would you do that? Just put your hand right up and right back down. I've never been saved, but I need to be saved. Anybody like that? All right, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, Brother Taylor, I've got a lost friend, a lost loved one, maybe a mother, a dad, a brother, a sister, a son or a daughter, and I fear they're lost. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for my friend that they wouldn't have to go to this awful place? Would you hold your hand up right now? Yes, and God bless you. Thank you so much. Maybe a neighbor, maybe an employer. Somebody that's on your heart, maybe an employee, somebody that's been on your heart lately. Brother Taylor, would you pray for my friend? They're lost, and I know it. Let me just see your hands right now. Anybody like that? Yes, and God bless you. Are you listening? Shake your head, yes. At any cost, you try to get them saved. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's not God's will to see anybody go to hell. It is God's will to get them saved. Maybe you could write them a letter. Maybe you could send them a text or a message. Maybe you could pay them a personal visit. Maybe you could go two by two from the church to visit somebody that's lost. But you need to be busy about the burden of souls. I wonder how many would say, Brother Taylor, it's been a while. I know how to win someone to Christ. I know how to win someone to Christ, but it's been a while. Would you pray that God would give me a burden for souls to lead someone to Christ? Can I see your hands? Just lift it up. Yes, and God bless you. Put your hands down. I wonder how many would say, Brother Taylor, I've never led my first soul to Christ. Are you listening? I've never led my first soul to Christ, but if somebody would teach me or take me, I want to learn how to win a soul to Christ. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. There's a lost world, and I need to tell somebody about Christ. Brother Taylor, pray for me that I can have my first soul saved. Hold your hand way up high. Yes, and God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. I want everybody to look at me just for a minute. Many hands were raised. There's not enough room at this altar. But I want you to find as close as you can a place. This is about souls and eternity. The devil knows he's lost somebody the minute they trust Christ as their Savior. Let's make it our business to win someone to Christ.